So, it's the first altogether service of 2023. New start, new beginnings. Has anybody yet managed to break a New Year's resolution? I'm pleased to see that's... Has anybody made a New Year's resolution? Just about. I'm just about sticking. Oh, there was a little hand up there. Fantastic. So I have. So my New Year's resolution, which I have just about stuck to, I have to say, there's been a few evenings when I've thought, oh, do I really want to do this? I have decided I'm going to set. I have quite a sedentary job. I sit around on a computer, trying to be important, and failing. And so I was like, I got a step counter last year, and it's like there have been some days when my step count has been so low, it's ridiculous, because it's like, you know, literally not gone out of the house. So I've set myself an absolute floor of, I am going to do this many steps each day. It's not very high. I'm not telling you what it is, because it's particularly low. And there'll be some people going, oh, it's 10,000. It is nowhere near 10,000, okay? It's like, it's not that many. But it is that I kind of feel I've at least done enough for the day. And yesterday, it was raining, so I didn't know about. So genuinely, I think at 10 o'clock last night, my step count was on 245, because I had chilled at home. I'd done some prep for today. I'd been quite busy. The ink's just about dry. And it was like, right, I can't do that. So I went out for a walk. And so if you see me out on the walk at midnight, you'll know that I'm trying to get that step count in for that right journey. And there has been one occasion, it was last year, not this year, where I timed it wrong. And ended up kind of really walking very quickly up to midnight. Didn't quite do my step count for the day, it was a different thing. But by the time I then got to, then had to walk back, kind of came and, you know, the next morning, Claire and I were talking. I said, well, I'm already, you know, 700 steps into the next day. So if you see me out and about, that's what I'm doing. So as we start on 2023, I want to think today a little bit about journeys and the journeys that we take. Not so much the physical journeys of going for a walk or travelling to see someone or going on holiday or going just down the road to New Wine, but actually the kind of the journey and the progression that we want to make this year, either as individuals, as a family, as a church. So we're going to look through some of the journeys that happened in the Bible, okay? Now, this is the point where I could come up with a list, but I thought, actually, it's an altogether service. We should be doing this all together. So over to you to come up with some journeys that people took in the Bible that you can think of. And it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be clever. You just need to kind of mention somebody that you think they took a journey in the Bible. I can remember that. And then I shall say it back to you so that people who are listening online at home can pick up on it, because they only hear what's on the microphone. So, who can think of a journey? There's a hand over there, which is just behind Andrew Shubsole. So if they were wearing a different coloured top, it would look like Andrew had his hand up. Niamh, who can you think of a journey in the Bible? Mary traveled to Bethlehem. I should have guessed that we'd had a Christmas one, because we've just come out of Christmas. Okay, fantastic. Now, Alicia, are you okay to do the readings for me? There is a Mary and Joseph one. So Alicia, bless her, was on readings today, and I said, I don't know what we're doing, but we'll find loads, okay? So, do you want to come up and do it from here so people can hear you? So Alicia's got a whole load of readings, and hopefully we've got them all covered. Who? Doesn't matter if we haven't. God's in charge. Right, do us the Mary and Joseph reading.
Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth and Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to marry him, and he was also expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Brilliant, thank you. So, thank you, Niamh. Fantastic. A really key journey that we learn lots about at Christmas. This massive journey. Now, I had a look at this and I was reading it around trying to, you know. We have, obviously, Claire's been pregnant a couple of times. It would not have been her choice or our choice to have taken a journey on a donkey, not that I think we've ever had that choice, to take somebody at kind of when so close to being about to give birth. And it wouldn't have been a choice. I'm sure Joseph had a business, he was a carpenter. So Joseph and Mary didn't choose to make that journey. And the destination that they went to, they couldn't find anybody. Okay, and sometimes the journeys that we have to take and the things that we'll have to do this year won't be of your choosing or our choosing. You might think, I wish I could do this at a different time. This would be easier if I could do this in 6 months' time. This would be better if I could only do it. If I'd done this 3 months ago, this would be easier. But actually, there are some of us this year who are going to face journeys that we haven't chosen, the timing of which we think is wrong. But actually, God's got a bigger plan that maybe we have to think about. I've got some other readings about that. Right, we had that read. Anybody else got a journey in? Well, go for it, Winston. Emmaus. Oh, do you know what? I missed that off my list. Go on then. Tell us a bit more. It doesn't have to be with Winston, okay, because otherwise I'm picking on him. Winston, tell us a bit about the journey to Emmaus.
That was the two disciples who went from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but were caught up by Jesus after the crucifixion.
Yeah. So it was after Jesus' death and after his resurrection, but the news hadn't spread. And these two disciples who were leaving, I think, from Jerusalem and were going away to Emmaus, suddenly found somebody walking with them who they didn't recognise. And they asked a load of questions and they said, this makes no sense. We thought Jesus was going to be the one who would see us through it all. And Jesus, who they didn't recognise, sorry, bit of a spoiler there, okay, was the one who talked them through about it. Now, okay, so what can we think about that for our journey? Now, for me, that says sometimes God comes alongside you and you don't even recognise him. That actually, you know that, I forget, you know the footprints story? The story of the two sets of the... I have heard that told where it ends with Jesus saying, just because you lost that hopping race, there's no need to be bitter about it. But actually, somebody's got it. Sorry. Somebody else appreciates the dad joke. If you don't know the footprint story, then I'm very sorry and I won't spoil it for you now. But actually, Jesus comes alongside us and walks. And sometimes, there's a bit in the story to Emmaus where they settle down for the evening and Jesus says, oh, I'm going to carry on. I don't need to stop here. I'm going to carry on. And they say to him, look, don't be daft. It's very dark. You can't travel. It's not safe. Stay for the night. And he breaks bread with them. And that's the bit where they suddenly go, hold on a minute. That's Jesus. Jesus broke bread like that. And suddenly they recognise who he is. And he's taken from their sight. But actually, that journey, we just talked a bit about how maybe it won't be our choice to make a journey. It might not feel like it's the right timing for us. But actually, God goes with us on those journeys. And sometimes we don't recognise that. And sometimes it's not till something happens and you look back and you go, oh, yeah. Absolutely true. Okay, so we've done Mary and Joseph, we've done Road to Emmaus. Who else can think of a journey? The Good Samaritan. Oh, fantastic. Okay, so the Good Samaritan. Okay, so I'm going to pick on you again. Tell me a bit about the Good Samaritan story. Can you remember where they were going? There's a microphone appearing.
I don't remember where they were going.
But that's fine.
There was a man walking along the road and he got attacked by robbers. And then a priest came along and walked by on the other side of the road. And then a Pharisee, who also walked by and didn't want to get involved in case they might be attacked as well. And then a Samaritan whom the Jews didn't really like for some reason.
There's a bit in that story. To give you an idea how much they didn't like, at the end of the story, Jesus says to the person who asked the question, who was the good person in this story? Who was the good person? And the Jew who he's talking to won't even use the word Samaritan.
He says the one who helped.
He says the
him.
One who helped.
Yeah.
That's how much they didn't like each other. So sorry, I'm interrupting.
Yeah. So the Samaritan comes along and he feels sorry and he bathes his wounds and puts him on his donkey and takes him to the next village and asks the innkeeper to look after him and says if you run up any more bills, I'll pay you when the next time I come past.
Yeah. What an amazing thing to do. To kind of, and it is a parable. It's a story that Jesus told. The famous thing about kind of the Samaritans and the Jews did not go on well. I'm very sorry, you've got a lighter morning because they keep. Can I just tell you, there's a web page that says 25 biblical journeys and it's rubbish. Because you've only done one of them. But don't worry, we're not doing 25. But that story of trying to explain to somebody who their neighbour is, who should be the people that they look out for. And I think, so I have got another, I did have another one of the stories, but I'm not going to go into it, where actually the help comes from such an unexpected place, such an unexpected source. And I'm hopeful that this year, as you travel on that your journey, as you go what needs to be done this year, that actually, well, hey, you don't tread on flowers. Sorry. I was feeling a bit low, so I thought I'd stand up. I'm very sorry. So that actually, hopefully you'll get help from expected sources. That's the saddest thing about that story, that the priest and the Levite, who you might expect to be involved, walk by with some excuse about how they're busy going to Jerusalem and they're very busy and they can't, you know, whatever their reasons were. Hopefully you'll get help from sources that you might expect to be helping you, the church family, you know, other people who will support you. But actually, you might find support comes from unexpected places. I am very fortunate that I have a very good boss. And a very, you know, she's a good person. And we talk about work stuff, but quite often we talk about some of the other stresses that we have. I am certain that she isn't a Christian. She has a bit of a Christian background. But it's not there. But actually, you know, she talks about, and is happy for me to talk about, some of the things that are happening as a family, as a church, you know, kind of the things that affect me. That's a source of help from unexpected places. And hopefully, the church will be supportive to you, and your friends and your family will. But actually, help can come from some unexpected places. Okay, let's do a couple more, and I'll see if you can win a prize if you get one off the list. Okay, Sandra.
Abraham.
Oh, thank goodness. Phew. Right. Now I've got to find out my list. Which bit of Abraham's journey were you thinking?
Where he was told to leave his own country and go to another country, he was going to be the father of all nations.
Fantastic. So actually, let's do both bits of the reading from Abraham. Is that okay?
I thought there was only one.
Oh, no, they're not. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, that one and then that one.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. I've killed a plant. Right.
Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people from your father's household, to the land I will show you. Genesis chapter 13, 5 to 9. Now Lot, who was moving out of Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great, but they were not able to stay together. And their quarrelling arose between Abraham's leaders and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at the time. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarrelling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. It is not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.
So, yeah, there is that bit right at the start of Abraham's journey where
God says to him, right, time to go, and he doesn't know where he's going. But he does it anyway. So, yep, start of 2023. You know, sometimes we have a look back and think where we were this time last year as a family. I think where we might be this time next year. But I don't really know where that's going to be. But I know that God's going to be there. And the other bit, it's that kind of... Lot and Abraham had travelled together because it made sense to do so. They were both shepherds, they had flocks. And so for a time, they journeyed together. And then they kind of went, actually, this isn't working. And I think there's nothing... You know, sometimes it's nice to be in amongst people we know and in amongst the people that we're friendly with and we know and we get on well. But sometimes it might be right for you and to kind of think about, actually, I need to change my friendship group a little bit. I need to move it around. I need to think about who are the people who will support me and is this person good for my journey? That kind of bit where Abraham and Lot's all of the people they had, the herders, the people who dealt with their things, were quarrelling and arguing. And it just became the right time for them to move on and think about somewhere different. Okay, I saw one other hand up. Go for it, Steve. While we're here, some of us have some significant, you know, life events on our journey. Happy birthday to Steve. I got told that it's... I think they said you weren't significant, but I think it's just your birthday's not significant.
No, don't feel left out.
Fair enough. But we have some other people who might have some other significant stuff today. But there we go. Right. What journey?
Paul's journey to Rome.
Paul's journey to Rome. Okay, so we're right back. Do you know, well done. We've kind of, you know, haven't quite gone sequentially, but we're nicely at the end. So, are you sure you wouldn't like to pick up any of his other missionary journeys? Yeah. You're quite sure. Right, too much. Shut up. We've had that one. Want to go with Rome? Okay, fair enough. Not that I had the other ones prepared or anything, but never mind. Okay, so what's important about Paul's journey to Rome?
Well, mainly because he was a prisoner in chains going to Rome to put his case before Caesar as a Roman citizen, because he'd been arrested for preaching, and he'd been before all sorts of different important people, and they'd eventually said, all right, off you go to Rome then. And then he got shipwrecked on the way in Malta.
Yes.
So it wasn't an easy journey, let's put it that way.
No. And in fact, there's a bit... I did do a bit of reading around Paul's journey to Rome. But actually, he said to the captain, don't go in this. God's told me we're going to be shipwrecked. And the captain went, yeah, what do you know? And lo and behold, they were. But actually, the reason I'm half joking about Paul's other missionary journeys, he does all these different missionary journeys and he tends to come back to some sort of... He settles in places for quite long periods of time. And the amazing bit, Paul... He was held in chains, and he chose to be held in chains for a bit longer so that he could take the message of God to Rome. There's a bit, I can't tell you where, so you get a bit more time off. There's a bit in Acts where it says, if Paul hadn't appealed to Caesar, we could have released him. We could release him now. But Paul was a Roman citizen, and so he said... No, you've put me in prison. I'm a Roman citizen. I want to go to Caesar. And it's right in the last few chapters of Acts where Paul ended up in Rome with lots of people visiting him. Now, there is the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. What a wise man Paul was. He put himself right at the centre of all of the travelling journeys that were around. And everybody came to him, and everybody heard about the gospel, and the gospel just spread from there. So he chose to take a horrible journey and to put himself in front of Caesar because that was the way to spread the knowledge. Now, hopefully, that got the gospel message spread a lot wider. So hopefully you won't have that choice this year. Shall I stay in prison for a bit longer so I can tell people about Jesus? Hopefully, there's none of us that's going to face. But he really prioritised telling people about Jesus. And on your journey this year, it would be good to think about, how can I tell other people about Jesus? The Alpha course has just started here, so that's a one way, and I think we're planning another one next year, or later in the year. Sorry, I'll I know there's another one planned. My brain won't tell me when it was. But there are other ways you can think about how you share Jesus this year. Okay, now, I had my highlighter pen, and the plan was, when we talk about this, I'll highlight, and then at the end I'll conclude and list them all. And I can't for the life of me think about things we talked about. So, we had Mary and Joseph hadn't chose the timing, but God was with them. Emmaus, sometimes we don't know we've had God with us on the journey until we get right to the end. The Good Samaritan, help comes from really unusual sources and really unusual places, but it's there. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he knew God had the place for him to be. Okay, and he journeyed with the right people. And then we're back at Steve, which was Paul going to Rome. Probably wouldn't have been Paul's choice to go to Rome, but he did it because it gave him an opportunity to share the gospel. There you go. Hopefully there's some things you can think about for your journey this year. Now, thank you ever so much, Ali. Much appreciated. Particularly because trying to practice all those readings with all those long words is particularly a nightmare. So thank you very much for that. And there are some other things, significant events on our life journey, that we need to celebrate. Okay, so